Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Essence of Success Network. My name is Maxwell. I am the host of Proud to be Different. My show today is going to be having my friend Mike, who is the host and creator of Radio Silence Paranormal. That is something that you can look up on Facebook. He's got a page there for it, but we'll go into that later. I want to jump into a few things. First of all, the call-in number that you'll be able to call in probably about 30 minutes on after I have my little music break is area code 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. Now, my dear friend Miss Nina is stuck on the roads because she's up in Canada and it's really nasty weather right now, so she may be a few minutes late. She helps me out with chat room, so I will be handling the chat room while she's away. Anyway, so I wanted to hit on a couple of things. Today is the 158th birthday of Nikola Tesla. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He was the inventor of many grand things. I was able to memorize books left and right. And he was in a bit of a feud with Einstein, because supposedly Einstein's brought up all these great, wonderful inventions and thought of all these great things, and Tesla had thought of them as well. So the other thing is that it is the 51st anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. There's probably going to be a lot of talk about it on the news and that sort of thing, but I saw it, and it is probably, I think, because, I mean, that was a really big turning point era for the country in general, but it sort of started the disenfranchised movement for a generation of folks. It was before my time, but a lot of people I know were around that saw it and on the news and that sort of thing. And saw Walter Cronkite get broken up over it while watching or trying to deliver the information on the news at the time. So it was a very powerful time. The other thing is that in early January, HBO is participating with multiple countries across the planet showing a documentary. And I can't remember the name of the documentary, and I do apologize. But it is a recent documentary put together about the Holocaust because it will be the 71st anniversary of the releasing of the folks that were held in Auschwitz. And the documentary is going to be global shown at the same time in France and Germany and Israel and Africa and South America and North America and everywhere. So, I mean, for one thing, to be able to have your documentary shown on the planet at the same time to everybody is kind of powerful. But at the same time, this is something that people still to this day, not necessarily trying to wipe it out personally, but just out of sheer ignorance, don't remember things about why we had to deal with World War II. And so it's a very important documentary that's going to happen. I hope everybody watches it and at least sits down and takes a part of it. All kinds of directors, including Hitchcock, had done films that are being a part of this documentary. So it's going to be very cool. So with all that, oh, and the other thing is, if you're in Washington State and you want to try and get across the pass, good luck. Snoqualmie got hit by snow big time, and it's been screwing up the roads back and forth, left and right. So you're kind of going to be stuck. Can't go over to the state on one side, and you can't go over to the state on the other, unless you have chains and studs and huskies to pull your sled. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on my guest, Mr. Young. So, hello, Mike. Are you there?
I am here. Hi, Maxwell. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, like I said, I wanted to bring you on to my show so that we could talk about what exactly it is that you do. With your organization, Radio Silence Paranormal. I did a little bit of research on it, so I'm kind of curious. You said that you, on your website, that you've been doing this now since 1997. That's a pretty long stretch. What got you into doing it?
Well, it all kind of first started off with my first experience back in my early grade school days. It turned into a rather largely documented occurrence that dealt with an entity that was out to basically seek revenge for the one who originally killed it. And it was a rather largely documented incident that also included the Wenatchee, Washington police documenting several instances as well. And then from that beginning, and basically all through my life, I've always been interested in the paranormal, and it's always been something that's intrigued me and I thought was very interesting. And I wanted to know, you know, what is it? Why does it happen? What is this really? So I decided to do a lot of research and do a lot of reading. And you know, I watched a lot of shows, of course, and listened to a lot of radio basically started forming some of my own theories and hypotheses on the concept of it and why it occurs. So later in my years down the road, I realized that I could get a group together and we could start researching this and we could start helping people out who do have occurrences in their home or think they do but aren't sure. And this would give experience for everybody as well as helping the individual who needs some assistance. But we took a more scientific side to it. We're not quite as metaphysical as we are scientific. We try not to jump on the gun real fast and call something paranormal activity or call something a ghost too quickly. Yeah. We'd like to try to debunk first. We'd like to try to figure out if it's something else before we jump on that bandwagon. And so that's kind of the philosophy and the reasoning behind why I started the group. And we've traveled all over with various different members here and there. And it's been great. I mean, it's been a great group, a great experience. I've branched off at times and became a part of another group in Washington State for a while as a kind of a secondary member of Whisper, which is the Washington State Paranormal Investigation and Research, and they're another fantastic group to get involved with and to be a part of and to get in touch with if you have any issues.
No, it's interesting for me because I've known you for a long time and I've also grew up in a period where paranormal experiences and that sort of thing have sort of exploded in pop culture in the sense that, I mean, like, one of the biggest movies from our childhood was Ghostbusters. on up to today, where you have like the Ghost Hunter TV shows and Paranormal Activity movies and stuff like that, which is basically kind of like it makes, from what I see, any sort of spirit or entity or anything like that an evil source or a bad source, or it comes from a negative thing. And I've never really thought of it that way. I've always thought that if they are there, they're just there. There is no root cause for it to be evil. Like, every single ghost out there is an evil spirit that's going to hunt you down and brr, scary sort of thing. So, what is your take on the pop culture version of spirituality, or not spirituality, but spirits and ghosts and that sort of thing?
Well, that's a good question. Originally, when I first started this, it was very widely frowned upon, and a lot of people were scared of the idea, and they, you know, and some of the more fundamental people considered us as devil worshippers or people who were dealing with the devil, because they assumed that this activity was, like you said, evil or bad or something along those lines. My experiences in the past and even in the recent times, I've never really seen any true evidence of anything being pure evil, given there are some entities out there that, you know, are not happy about being around. But I just don't think that there's a real evil background behind it all. And it's interesting too, because I was doing this before it became a TV show, before it became popular or part of this pop culture. And back then, you know, nobody really truly understood. And today, because of this pop culture, it's kind of a double-edged sword. One, a lot more people are more open-minded to paranormal activity and a lot more interested in it and a lot more open-minded in the sense that they want to do their own research as well. But yet, the backside of it is that now that it's so publicized, it almost becomes a novelty, and there's a lot of people out there, too, that want to fake or over-dramatize what's actually truly happening. And yet there's also people out there in a particular TV show that I won't mention that they like to antagonize whatever's there just to try to get some activity going. And,
oh, dude, let me just tell you, nobody's paying attention, so you can say whatever you want.
Well,
no,
and
for me, I got to say that because I have a friend that TiVos or DVRs or whatever's the big famous Ghost Hunter TV show, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's got the bald guy on there who looks like a big old bear, and all they do
and
it's like you hear a sound off in the background, and all of a sudden the camera, after 5 minutes after the sound has been made, switches off into that direction. Like, oh my God, did you hear that? And I'm like, really? That's the production level of this show? Really? And it
yeah.
drives me nuts, because I look at it from the perspective of all they're looking at is ratings. That's all they care about. That's what they're trying to do, is trying to get as many people watching as possible. So they try and dramatize it and make it as exciting as possible. It's not really into the subject matter at all. And there's one guy that's complete and total douchebag who has his own show, and he walks around, and he literally is like bad, like faux hawk hair, and he's like, I have had experience talking to voodoo priestesses and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you're a white boy from Sacramento. You have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course there's going to be a lot of dramatization that's going to be added to this because it is technically, you know, anything that's on TV like that that's meant to be a show is basically there for entertainment value. So these people are going to want something to happen. I mean, if they truly filmed what truly happens in about 90% of the investigation, they would lose their ratings and the show would have been off the air before the first season was completed because there's a lot of dead time. There's a lot of dead air, a lot of, you know, just nothing going on for hours and hours. And then you're lucky to get that one little noise or the one little whisper or the one little visual cue or something. You know, but that comes in after hours and hours and hours of absolutely nothing. And so they have to kind of bump it up and dramatize. And, you know, our friends at Ghost Hunters at Taps, they've been pretty good over the years. They started off with more of a kind of a wet behind the ears kind of approach when they were fairly new. And now, in my personal opinion, it kind of feels like the producers have molded their show quite a bit and their integrity isn't quite as high as it used to be. But I can understand that because, you know, again, this has to be for entertainment purposes. I just think it's unfortunate that when you do get on a TV show like that, it's just you have to compromise a lot and you have to sacrifice a lot from what you would typically do.
Yeah, I mean, even if the show was like on PBS or something like that, I still would see a lot of emphasis on excitement and drama and cameras being swished around in bad handheld motion. And I'm like, I think a lot of what happened was with the Blair Witch Project movie that came out, I think a lot of that sort of had an impact on how people were looking at things. Because we had, Poltergeist when we were kids. And it wasn't necessarily all evil. It was there was like one bad, and then there were others that were kind of trapped. And so they weren't necessarily bad. They were just being held against their will. So it's sort of like breaking it down as it was just personalities. It was human personalities was what I was dealing with. They just happened to be passed on. So when you come across something like Blair Witch Project, that sort of pushes this envelope of everything that's out there is going to be spooky and bad and out to get you kind of thing. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I think, yes, there may be manifestations that are negative because they were having negative on them, but I don't think that's a true statement for every sort of manifestation that's out there. Now, from you jumping from up here in the Pacific Northwest down to the South Handle, the Texas area, have you seen a big difference in what's out there in regards to interest-wise? Because I would think that up here in the Seattle area, we would be open-minded maybe, or maybe just more interest in the subject matter?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely culture has a big part of it. The Northwest does seem to be pretty open-minded about the activity. I think, when it comes to this type of stuff, it's good to be what I call openly skeptic, which means that it's, you know, you're open-minded to it, you understand that it happens and it occurs, but you're skeptical in terms of calling everything a ghost or a spirit or something like that. Now, coming down here to the Texas area, it's a little different because this tends to be more of a religiously followed culture or religion following culture. And that tends to put a damper on the popularity, or it tends to cause people to judge very quickly or assume, you know, as what was discussed before, that this is something evil or something along those lines, which is completely incorrect. The majority of the instances and the experiences that I've had over the years have not necessarily been evil or bad or horrible, and it's a little bit harder down here to try to convince people that this is something that is okay to research and it's okay to learn about and it's okay to understand, because, you know, you're not going to a different realm if you believe because you're trying to research, you know, what's happening out there as far as the activity is concerned. And, you know, given I have had some experiences with some entities out there that have been, you know, not necessarily threatening in a way, but they've caused physical contact in one form or another. I have been pushed a couple times. I've been smacked a couple times. But it's nothing that is of a real threatening nature. And I have a hard time believing that there's going to be anything, you know, I'll put it this way. There hasn't been a history of true documented experiences in the past of people being injured or even killed or anything like that due to paranormal activity. Fear alone can be the problem.
Our imagination makes up most of what we fear.
Mm-hmm.
Just alone in our brains, what we think is out there is what we fear the most, as opposed to what is actually out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, fear alone can definitely do the damage, and letting your imagination roll is something that you want to try to keep in check, especially when you're on an investigation. You know, I enjoy horror movies and flicks like that just as much as the next person. They're a lot of fun, but I also keep them in perspective that they're movies. This stuff does not actually happen in reality. This is just over-dramatized activity to get your heart pumping and get your imagination going and to give you the thrill and the excitement of being scared. But that's not the type of thing that actually happens out there. And if you're out there on an investigation somewhere and you're trying to research anywhere from a home to outdoors to a public place, who knows, and you start to let your imagination run wild, you're going to be scared out of your wits and you're not going to be able to look at this objectively. So you definitely have to keep yourself in check. I can definitely tell you that much. The shows and the movies, you know, they're fun, but you got to remember that's entertainment. That's all it is.
Now, when you get together with a group and you go cavorting, doing the research, what size group do you usually get? Is it like anywhere from 10 to 30, or is it like maybe 5 or 6 folks? Is it like folks that are just regulars every single week or weekend that get together?
We try to keep the investigations down to a minimal group. The reason for that is that you don't want to have a lot of people wandering around, because that causes noise pollution, and it causes basically interference. And the other issue is, too, is that my experience has been in the past that activity, especially if there's something there that tends to be a bit timid or is not sure about showing itself, a large group tends to keep that activity at bay. If you're in a small group of just a few people, you have a better chance of experiencing some kind of activity or getting evidence. You want to avoid all forms of, you know, visual pollution in terms of sound or temperature or anything like that, because every little bit of evidence can be scrutinized if you have a lot of people, because you can't keep track of where everybody is, and then you're not sure if that bump was somebody just scuffing their shoe or if that truly was something, you know, out of the ordinary.
Now, just within the past 2 weeks, there was Science Magazine came out with a study showing that it's been seen in animals that they have self-awareness, which kind of changes our scope of how we've looked at animals for basically ever, because they all have the availability of seeing who they are. They just do it in a different way than we do. In that idea, do you have or have you come across the difference between, say, a human spirit or a animal spirit?
Oh, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting because animals, I've always believed animals are always self-aware, and you see evidence of it every day. I mean, from your home pets to any other type of animal, I mean, if they're not just standing there staring into space and acting like a stick in the mud, then of course they're self-aware. You know, and of course they're aware of their feelings, they're aware of their surroundings, they're aware of everything. And the personality comes through. Every animal has its own personality, no matter what it is. And it's very interesting because, you know, human spirits, you know, they act in very human ways. Some of them tend to seem like they're just going about their day. And some of them really want to get your attention, either because they want help or some of them because they're having a little fun with you. And I've dealt with a few that are like that as well, and they seem to enjoy being what they are. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Animals as well, I've had experiences. For example, there is a hotel over on the west coast of Washington State over there by Ocean Shores, and they're known for having quite a bit of activity, and there's a cat that roams the grounds there. And we've gotten several EVPs, EVP is electric voice phenomenon, and we've gotten several recordings of a cat meowing on the grounds, and there is no physical cat actually living there. And the room that I've slept in, you know, you hear the little click, click of the claws walking on the floor. The floors are very creaky. So if it was anything else, you would be hearing some kind of a creak noise, something like that. But when you feel little paws walking on the bedspread and there's nothing there, that's where it gets interesting. But this cat seems to enjoy attention. And there have been times when I've been walking around and I feel what I think is my late cat shadow rubbing against my leg, because it feels like her very, very soft fur rubbing on my leg, and I look down, there's nothing there. So it seems to be that they know you're there. You know, they treat you like you're just somebody else. I'm not sure how their perspective is, because I know that animals are able to see, hear, and feel a lot more than we can. It's one of the reasons why sometimes having a dog on an investigation is a very good thing, because we may not be able to perceive what's happening or what's there, but the dog can. And
yeah.
That's very interesting to me.
There's a real quick before we go on to my break. There's a story that has floated around the internet for a few years now. It's probably one of the most sweetest stories I ever heard, which was in Italy. There was a very small town in Italy where there was a fairly old woman who had a, I think it was a German Shepherd, and she would go to church every Sunday in Italy, Catholic Church, of course, and her German Shepherd would go with her. And when she passed away, at her funeral service, the German Shepherd went and sat in front of the casket, in front of the entire congregation, during the entire funeral. And then every Sunday came back. And even though it was being taken care of by somebody else in town, it would wander out and go to the same church every Sunday at the same time and sit there in front of the congregation. And people said it was because they knew that she was there and that her connection to that place, because for her it was a positive connection. And so the dog knew that that was a place to go to feel comfort from her essence, because he knew her essence was there. And
absolutely.
I always thought that was a really sweet story. And I totally believed in the connection between the dog and its person, because I can't say master or whatever. It's person, spirit, still lingering in that spot.
Absolutely, and that's a very common thing, too, when especially with dogs and a lot of the times with cats, is that you get a very strong bond, and the animals can definitely sense if you're still around once you've passed on. I mean, there's countless stories of war heroes and other people who have passed away, and their dog finds their way to their grave without any direction. They know that that's their grave, and they'll end up sleeping on their grave, or they'll stay there. You know, for long periods of time, because they know, and that bond is there. You know, there is an electrical energy that is released when you pass away. So it's, you know, there's a possibility that the essence is still there all the time, and the dogs can definitely sense it. And they are creatures of habit, though, too, and they do like to go to the same place over and over, like in that church aspect. But the possibility of there being an essence there in place, I would think, is a very high probability and something that's fascinating.
Yeah. So, okay, folks, so I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to play some music. Now, I'm scratching my head here because I've spent probably the past week and a half, because I do apologize for being sick last week. I was heinous. Trying to figure out what type of music or what kind of music I wanted to play for the show, because I was really psyched about the show. So I came up and I found a recording of Schubert's trio in, or third trio in C minor. And it's recorded off a scratchy old album. So it's not all cleaned up and glossy and all that kind of stuff. And it sounds beautiful. It's going to be a few minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and put mic on hold for a moment. And I will be back in a few minutes after the song, and we'll be able to take calls. Again, the call-in number is going to be area code 646-727-2914. Okay, and we will get things going here in a second. Give me one moment and enjoy the middle. Thank you. All right, we are back. Thank you so much for your patience. This is the Essence of Success Network. This is Maxwell, your host for Proud to be Different. And I have my friend Mike Young, the creator of Radio Silence Paranormal. We are doing Q&A now. Your call-in number is area code 646-727-2914. Or if you want, you can hit the chat room up. My friend and dearest Miss Nina is taking your questions in the chat room. So, Mike, one of the questions I wanted to hit you up with, if you're still there.
I am right here, sure.
Okay. So one of the questions that I want to hit you up with is, what has been probably your most exciting experience ever? Something that you came across in your work, something that made you really go ahead.
I think it's hard to pinpoint it down to one experience, but I think there's a couple that definitely have a brighter spotlight on them than some. One of them, I was able to spend a night by myself at Waverly Hills Sanitarium in just outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And that was an extraordinary experience. That was something that was absolutely amazing. It took a little bit to make sure I pushed away the imagination and just let myself open. And some of the things that I experienced that evening was absolutely incredible. And I think one of the fascinating parts about it is I was on the fourth floor, which is known to be one of the more active areas. And I think what was so neat is that there was nobody else on that floor. There was basically nobody else in that building except for a couple of security people walking around, but they stayed at either end of the building, and it's a huge, huge location. And so there was nothing, there was no light in the place, there's no electricity, but there was a full moon or close to a full moon that night, so there was a lot of moonlight coming in. So I decided to sit on the floor down one of the main hall wards and just kind of relax and just kind of look down the hall to see if I caught anything. And I started noticing figures starting to move. And I kind of looked a little closer and I realized they weren't physical people. These are what some people consider as shadow people. And as I gave it more time, they were taking a little bit more form, and I was able to see basically what looked like people going about their day and the period of time when this place used to be open as an actual tuberculosis sanitarium. There were people walking up and down the hallways. I mean, they looked basically like shadows, but you could see the shapes. You could see the shape of a uniform, a nurse's uniform. There would be people that walked right by me. And it makes the hair stand up on the end of your arms there when they do that. It's very interesting. But that was absolutely fascinating. But I would have to say that and going through Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the experiences that you have there, those are two places where I could basically guarantee you can experience something. And some of the things that I heard and felt and saw were just beyond description, and it was extremely fascinating. Gettysburg had footsteps. I heard muskets being shot, but there was nobody firing off muskets. There were shadows you could see. We saw lanterns walking through the woods, and when we got there, there was nobody there. Lots of mist. And you could feel a lot of just strange activity around you. It was really fascinating.
Now, I know that you've had experience here in Washington State as well. What experiences have you come across with the groups up here like Whisper?
Those experiences have been really interesting. There have been a lot of private home type of experiences, which I can't exactly touch on due to confidentiality agreements. But some of the more public type places that we've been to have been really, really neat. One of them was at the Tokeland Hotel out there in Ocean Shores. We've experienced the cat that meows on EVPs. We've heard footsteps. We've seen shadows. We've seen all kinds of interesting activity in that hotel, and we've got a lot of evidence. And it's just a really, really neat place to go. There have been times when the activity has been minimal, and there have been times when the activity has really, really picked up. But I would say that that's one of the more fascinating places I've been to in Washington State as far as activity is concerned. We did travel down to Preston Castle, and that's something that Whisper does on a regular basis. And I was able to go 1 year, and it was absolutely fascinating because that's down in California, kind of outside of Sacramento. And that place is filled with all kinds of activity. It used to be a small boys' school, and it's been a few other things. And we've experienced anything from footsteps to being touched to whispers to loud noises sounding like something had just been dropped, but nothing did. Things like that. But yeah, the group has been very fascinating, and I really appreciate their views because their views are very similar to mine. They don't like to jump on the gun quickly either, and they try to keep a little bit more of a scientific side to it, although they do have a couple of very talented psychics that do help out. And I've seen them work, and I completely believe I believe in them because it's just been proven over and over.
Now, I have a personal question. I saw this question come up a couple of weeks ago, and I thought this was something I wanted to ask you. Someone on Facebook had asked sort of everybody on her friends list if she knew anybody who knew anything about the possibility of the downtown original Seattle courthouse being haunted. And I thought I would ask you if you had known any sort of history on that building, having any sort of experience with like cold spots or
with like visual cold spots or.
Sure. I've heard various stories about the courthouse. Unfortunately, I haven't had the opportunity to do any investigation in there. Of course, obviously, because of the security reason, it's very difficult. But I have heard various stories of people being around there, and they've experienced things like cold spots or head whispers or things have gone missing, things have moved. There are a lot of places around the downtown Seattle area that are especially part of the old Seattle that have a rich history, especially one particular location that used to be a mortuary at one point in time, which is just a block up from where the Pike Place Market is. And that place has become so many different businesses because the activity is so heavy and so strong that they can't stay in business. And so that place remains to be, boarded up or papered up because nobody wants to put their business in there because of the hazard behind it. So there's a lot of great places to research and to check out. And to be honest with you, too, one thing to note is that a place doesn't have to be old to have activity either. They can be fairly new, but the area can have something to do with why there is activity.
Yeah. Well, because I know just the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast, with the East Coast there's so much history and so many lives that have come and gone, as opposed to the West Coast. We're still fairly new, and so we don't have as many generations
out here as there is over there. So I would think that we have, yes, we may have the high numbers of cases and things that we've been able to see and feel and that sort of thing. But I remember as a teenager watching an episode of Joan Rivers when she had her daytime talk show, and one of the episodes, she went to a bed and breakfast that was around the areas where a lot of the Civil War took place, like Virginia and that sort of thing. And the bed and breakfast was infamous for having a lot of spectral sightings and whatnot. And she's like, I'm going to stay the night here. I want to see what's going on. I want to check it out. And she went there. And, of course, they sort of like, ooh, scary, boo. And she came back and following up her taping of that episode, she's like, I felt stuff. I didn't see anything. I felt like I was not alone in the room besides me and my dog. I knew I was with someone else. I didn't see anything. But I know that there's more to this than just meets the eye. And I thought that was kind of cool because she kind of gave it respect as opposed to, oh, my God, I wet the bed. I was so frightened. Boo. Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
That was,
and that's,
that was a long windfall, sorry.
No, and again, that's keeping in mind with the thought that, you know, not everything is out to get you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times when you're in these places that are known to have activity, your feelings and your intuition tends to tune into it a little bit better. You're not always going to see something and you're not always going to hear something, but you can definitely feel things and feel your intuition. And you have intuition for a reason. And this is one of those reasons why you have it. And this is why you can sense these things. You know, you definitely don't want to ignore it. And it's nothing to fear. I think that if you're in a place that's known to have activity and you feel like that, like the hair standing up on their ends and whatnot, you know, reach out, say hello. You know, you may not know what you're talking to or who, but just say hello. Just say, I know you're here, and that's okay. You know, thank you for visiting me. If, you know, and a lot of the times too, if you have a voice recorder with you recording during that, sometimes you'll get an answer to your questions or whatever you're saying. That's known as EVP, is electronic voice phenomenon. And
everybody's got a recorder on their cell phone, and everybody's got a cell phone. So I mean, there is a possibility of you can pick something up on video or whatever, and plaster it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. I mean, there have been sessions that I've been in where I've had voice recorders going, and I've asked lots of questions, and I've gotten direct answers to my questions, which is really, really interesting. And you know, it wasn't somebody else. You know, so that says to me that they're conscious. They know what's going on. They know you're there. They know you're talking to them. And they're happy to answer, and sometimes they want help. Sometimes, you know, they need to talk to somebody. My only thing is, though, is just don't trivialize it. Don't turn it into a gimmick, because you got to remember that these are spirits here. These are, you know, people, basically, in a sense. And they're you know, think about it as if you were, you know, in their proverbial shoes, so to speak, would you want people antagonizing you or putting all your stuff all over the web saying, ha ha, look what I got. So, you know, definitely take it seriously. And it's something, you know, that is worth researching and trying to understand. You know, respect it. Give it respect. Yeah, that's my
now,
biggest advice.
If you had the choice of going any place on the planet to be able to do some investigation work, where do you think would be, like, your end-all, be-all? It's kind of like asking, where do you want to go to vacation? Where do you want to go to do investigation? Where would you think would be the best place?
Oh, that's a real easy one. That's going to be basically where it all started for the most part, at least as far as the more violent history is concerned, and that's the UK. In terms of, you know, the England areas, and then we're talking, you know, Ireland and the castles of Scotland. That would be the ultimate dream vacation for me, to be able to go to all these places and research and do investigations in a lot of these older homes and castles and places that are known to have activity, and to experience that. And I know some of those places have activity that can tend to get a little bit on the violent side, but that's still fascinating to me, and I still want to be there, and I want to be able to experience it. And, you know, and this is not for a thrill. This is for research purposes, to try to communicate, to try to get in touch with it, try to be like, so why are you here? You know, what's going on? Can I help you? What, you know, what's your story? Why, you know, is there anything that we can do? Because the thought is, too, is to try to help them on if there's any way that we can. You know, it's like I said, it's not a gimmick. It's something to take seriously. So if I can help anything move on, then by all means. But that, I definitely want to go around and go to all these castles and old manors and old homes and experience it and do some research and investigate these properties.
I mean, that's something that I've always been interested in, just in general, too. It's just the history of the UK and just the beauty of the land and the area I've always loved.
Absolutely.
Hold on one second. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, I was just saying, there's a very, very, very rich, rich history over there, and... it's a lot older than the history that we have over here in the, you know, northern continent. So it's definitely worth taking a look at, and it just fascinates me, the whole history behind it. And I would just love to experience that.
Now, with your experience of what you've done so far, or the education that you've got from others, have you heard, is there a difference in contact with spirits of those that want to move on, or do you find that there are spirits that want to stay?
There are some that seem to want to stay, mainly because either they're watching over a home, they're watching over a family, a piece of property, perhaps a grave in some cases. And they know they want to stick around. Some of them are protective, and some of them are happy to share. The ones that are protective can sometimes get a little bit violent, or kind of on a poltergeist level, so to speak, when a lot of activity occurs. So the ones that are happy to share usually will just give you little signs here and there, and they usually won't bother you too much. Sometimes they'll even help out. I've heard stories of that happening, too. Now, there's ones that do want to try to move on, and we get a lot of distressful EVPs and a lot of activity that lean towards them asking for help. And if that's the case, we'll try to do research. We try to find out who that entity is to the best of our ability, and then we'll try to do some kind of a ritual that allows them to move on according to their personal beliefs, you know, for what we can research to. Because, I mean, you don't want to, you know, give a Catholic a Muslim ritual, because that doesn't quite jive with their beliefs. So you want to give a Catholic
or
a Catholic
trying,
ritual.
Or if you're trying to get, like, a Jewish mother to leave the house after she's passed on, and you try and do it with, say, Protestant religion, no, that's not going to work. Do you find that with those who don't want to move on, do you find that it's because there's a linkage of whether it's a relative situation, a family situation, friend, whatever, or do you find that it's a connection to the area, the land itself?
It can really vary depending on the situation. You know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes they're there to protect family or family member. Sometimes they're there to protect their home or their land. Sometimes they're stuck there because they still have something to do. They still have something to complete, or they have something to prove, or say perhaps they were murdered or went missing, and they're trying to tell somebody that this is where I am, or this is how you solve this. And there have been a lot of stories behind that where a lot of crimes and a lot of mysteries have been solved through the assistance of the paranormal. And that's a lot of the times where the investigative psychics come in handy, because they're a lot more open, a lot more able to communicate. It's, you know, usually once the mystery's solved, then they tend to go away, they can rest, and the activity dies away and then stops most of the time.
So sort of in that same comment, do you find that almost like a I was trying to think of what the word was, like a seance has to be performed to help somebody pass on to the next realm, or is it just a simple conversation that can happen?
It's typically a simple conversation. You know, a lot of the dramatized ways of thinking in terms of a seance is concerned usually doesn't occur, and a lot of times it's not a good idea anyway, especially if you don't know what you're doing. One of the main reasons why I'm not a fan of the Ouija board, because it's not a toy, and it's something that can cause a big issue if you don't know what you're doing. And but typically most of the psychics or most of the mediums, most of the people that are able to communicate on a more fluent level, it usually tends to just be that, just kind of a conversation or a message, you know, kind of like a psychic version of texting in a way. You just get a little sentence here and there, and you get a little sentence back, and you're able to get a more vivid picture. That combined with the feelings and the senses that are being projected at you, that you're able to get a bigger picture.
Now, for me personally, one of the shows that I follow religiously every week when I can is Supernatural. Love that show, partly because everybody on the show is just drop dead fucking gorgeous. Sorry. But they kind of poke fun at themselves, because the majority of the episodes are very serious. They're battling demons and dealing with angels and all kinds of strong, tough guy kind of. And then they'll have episodes where they kind of poke fun at what they're doing. Now, from your experience, from what the work that you've done and that sort of thing, do you kind of have sort of a tongue-in-cheek of dealing with things, or do you come into it saying, this is black and white, this is how it's done, there's no questions?
Well, I think it depends on the situation. You know, given with everything in life, I think it's always good to keep a little bit of tongue-in-cheek going, because you've got to, you know, you've got to look at the whole perspective behind everything. Not everything is 100% serious. And, you know, with everything when it comes with the paranormal, yeah, you can kind of joke a little bit about it and whatnot. It's good to have a little bit of a sense of humor. I think that's healthy, you know, but it's not healthy when you're on in an investigation or when you're trying to help somebody or try to help a spirit. So there's a time and a place for everything. And, you know, members of the group and whatnot, we do our own joking on a regular basis. We like to have a little chuckle just as much as the next person, you know, but there, you know, we try to stay professional when it comes to that as well. It is something to take seriously. You don't want to play around. there have been some spirits, however, that we've experienced that like to be playful and like to be, you know, like to tell jokes and like to, you know, play jokes and,
yeah.
You know, and that's fine too. That's great. I love that. You know, it's kind of fun to find a spirit with a sense of humor. I always enjoy that.
Now I got a question coming in from the chat room,
mm-hmm.
which is, does Mike always physically hear the answers to his questions, or are there times when he just senses them? So do you actually get like an auditory response, or majority of the time do you get a feeling, a sense of a yes or no to your questions when you say, are you there, thank you for your time, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's not always auditory. You know, it's fascinating when it is, but it is not always auditory. We can sometimes get noises, you know, which is great, but there have been other times when we feel a little wisp go by us or feel a cold spot, you know, or get some very strong sense you can just tell that there's something there. That happens continually. I'm also known as what they would call a sensitive, which means mm-hmm. that I can pick things up sometimes a little bit more than the average person. And there have been times, too, I have a very visual memory. So I basically have like this movie theater or slideshow in my head a lot. And there have been
yeah.
times, and I can't control it, but when I've been able to close my eyes and envision things and see things, and then I can come out and say it, and it's actually correct. So it's kind of like a visual, I don't want to use the term psychic, but there have been times when I've seen pictures or seen little scenes in my head, and it's actually been correct, and I had no knowledge of it beforehand. So sometimes
yeah.
the answer comes
precog.
In the form of that as well.
I use the term precog because I remember a lot when I was a kid, I would have dreams where I would be in a certain place or something was happening, and literally like a couple weeks later, the exact same thing would happen, and I would be in the place, the thing would happen, and the sentences were being said to me, and I'm thinking, I had a dream about this 2 weeks ago. Oh, my goodness. And it would happen a lot. It hasn't happened to me so much as an adult. It was something I think that was very much tied into my youth, but I always considered it a precognizant sort of concept. And so when other people talk about it, I'm like, oh, I know what that is. I experienced that. Dude.
Yeah, precog dreams are a fascinating thing, and I've experienced those as well. And when the deja vu hits, I get a flash. Kind of a reflash in my head, and it's almost like a dizzy spell because I'm seeing everything happen all over again, and it's almost hard to believe, but there it is, you know. And that's another way, too, where you can get some answers, where people get answers in dreams, and then it becomes a physical reality. And that's something also to really kind of look at in the big picture and really take seriously, that you know, that could say that you have an ability that perhaps you weren't aware of, you know, and it might be worth looking into. For me, I can't control it. And to be honest with you, I'm not quite sure if I want to, because sometimes it works out for the best that it, you know, that it's not. But there have been times, too, when I've been in a building and I've closed my eyes and just relaxed, and then I just kind of – I've seen some pictures and I've seen some stuff, and then I'm like, did this place used to be fill-in-the-blank, you know? And they're like, oh, my gosh, how'd you know that? You know, that kind of a thing. And then it helps kind of pinpoint – where you are and pinpoint the mystery, you know, try to help solve the mystery, basically, or try to help whatever's there.
For me, I never had the ability to control it whatsoever. A lot of it didn't make any sense. It wasn't anything of like
anything impactful, like, oh, I just witnessed the victory of the Super Bowl or something like that. It was more like I was just someplace talking to somebody and that was it. And I didn't have any way of controlling it. It just sort of happened. But
right.
We're coming down, we're winding down towards the end of the show. I just wanted to, first of all, say thanks so much for being a part of it. I appreciate it, and it made a lot of, I think a lot of people that were listening got a lot out of it. Let's see further.
I thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. If anybody has any more
information. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I got a message here posting from Facebook. This is from Mark. Great show. Listening over here in the UK, although it's almost midnight. Thank you, Mark, for listening all the way from the UK. Woohoo! We're going to come and visit you someday.
I hope so. I hope so. Thanks for listening, Mark. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, that's great. If anybody has any other questions or anything like that,
I was going to say, if you've got anything, last parting words, go ahead and spurt them out now.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, if you want to check out our website, you can always feel free to. Our website is rsparanormal.wix.com/rspdfw. It's kind of long and it's a little difficult, but it's rsparanormal.wix.com/rspdfw. And you can also feel free to send me an email at radiosilenceparanormal@yahoo.com. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have regarding the paranormal. Or if you're interested in joining the group, please let me know, and we'll talk and we'll go from there. And thank you very much, Maxwell.
Radio Silence Paranormal page, like I said, on Facebook as well.
Thank you.
So you can track them down that way. So happy hunting. Anyway.
Absolutely. Thank you, Maxwell.
Okay. Not a problem. I'll check you out on Facebook later, dude. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and put him on mute now, and he can log off. I'm going to play the last song. The last song is by one of my favorite bands of all time, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. It is called Red Right Hand. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for being a part of the Proud to Be Different show that's on the Essence of Success Network. And I will talk to you guys next Saturday, same time, same place. Love you all. Bye. Get you some.
You feel like an insect, well, don't you worry, buddy, 'cause here he comes.